Blog Talk Radio. Ed Robinson Blog Talk Radio Show. We're going to continue on another song. We're back in about 5 minutes. Say it loud. I'm back in the crowd. Robinson Black Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the Carolina Regional Black Talk, Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. Again, we're always here from 8:30 to 10:30, weekdays through Friday, looking for conversations about issues that negatively affect black folk in particular. You know, we know that we're talking about black folk. Well, we know that white folk are into it, but when it overwhelmingly negatively affect black folk, then we kind of consider it a black issue. Huh? And so, you know, that is our purpose. We have to open the line of communication. First of all, we among ourselves, we have to begin to realize that this day is a black problem in this United States of America. And though there are issues that so many of us are just refusing to accept the fact, refusing to believe there is, or they're saying, well, I am a part of the system, so I'm not going to alienate myself. Mm-mm. I'm going to be a good little boy and take what I can get and be satisfied. But see, people tend to forget that they are who they are and where they are, and they can do the things that they do because of those that preceded them. Those that were persecuted, died in prison, futures destroyed. Not only is that something that had been happening years back, there's something that's happening today. We talk about issues, and everybody understands it and admits to that. Well, 50 years ago, we did this and we did that. We were discriminatory and it was wrong. We did black folk wrong. And so we need to find a way to try to correct that. But we can't just sit back and wait. And 50 years from now, people will be saying, well, 50 years ago, which is now, we were wrong. We did black folk wrong. I mean, which means that we are in a position wherein, you know, we're on the treadmill walking, but getting nowhere. We're on the treadmill walking, but we're not getting anywhere. You know, we get the sense that we're moving. We ain't going nowhere. If you ever gone to the fair or an amusement park and gone into one of these spaceship things, and they put you in this thing and it, because of the whatever the movement of the screen and all that kind of stuff, it gives you the perception that you are traveling out of space. And that is what's happening to us. Now, you know, there are too many smart people, too many smart black folk, who are falling prey to this. Now, I ain't no smart man, and I can see it. And a lot of others of us can see it. And see, you know, it's those that we have the perception of that are supposed to be smart. They're the ones who claim that they can't see it. You know, and and constantly I say they have forgotten why they are where they are. People sacrifice for them. People sacrifice for them. But yet, they're at the point wherein I've got mine. I'm satisfied and secured. So I don't care. You know, I had to work hard for mine, and you probably did. That's fine. And the reason that you had to work hard is because, see, you were on the other side of the river. And those of us who says, well, we're going to lie down hand in hand and form this human bridge so that you can cross the river and get on the road to success. Now, you ain't going to get it so far. and then you need to use your success to help others get across. But when you get there and you get on that road to success, And you said, well, this man likes me. And he only likes you because the one thing that did come out of all the suffering and persecution and prosecuting of black folk is, well, we have to accept some. And those who are lucky enough to get across the river, only those select few who are lucky enough. Now, we have to pick those who we know that will turn on their own just for their own self-gratification. And then we'll kind of keep them into that position so that they can keep the rest of them down. See, we can use them as a means of saying, oh, we're not racist. We love black folks. See, because we got this one and this one and this one. You got 3 out of 400. And so that's fine. We are satisfied with that kind of ratio. but, you know, sometimes you think in order to make things work, first you have to clean up your own house. And then how is it? It's sad to say, well, we need to fight and attack our own. And to do that, you know, it could be self-destructive because, you know, it puts us in this precarious position as to what do we do. And the best thing that I can come up with is we can't afford to fight our own, but we can ignore them. We need to go around them. We need to create an atmosphere in wherein, hey, in order for you to keep what you have, you have to be in touch with us. Because you are there because we are the ones whose back you stood on to get where you are. And people have to begin to realize that. we have to begin to understand how this trick psychology, these moves that... that are being used on us to make us feel that, you know, we are we are progressing, when in actuality we are digressing. You know, I was just talking, for good example, you know, just talking to my wife just a minute ago about, for an example, in our communities. When you look at the scores, the educational scores, we rank so far behind all other ethnicities in every age category, in every grade category. We are so far behind. Crime in our communities is way above those in other areas. So the system tells us that what you need is more police in your system to correct the problem. And we fall for it. What we need is more education in the system to fall for it. Now, if you had an infectious disease causing you pain, and it takes penicillin to cure the disease, but then they tell you, well, don't worry about curing the disease, we'll give you some aspirin for the pain. But see, you take an aspirin, though you might be relieving the pain, but the disease is constantly eating you away. And see, this is the thing that we have to get away from. We have to be the determinants of our future. We cannot allow the system to determine what we should have, when we should have it, and how we should have it. And that's the way it is today. You know, we get a certain people, black folk, who will join in with the system to say, hey, this is what we asked for, A. You know, I can't give you A, but I'll give you Z. And then they'll try to find means in how Z would help. But if Z doesn't help, it might relieve the pain for the moment. But the problem continues to grow. So we have to be more cognizant of what we're doing and what we will accept. So we will continue with this conversation in a few minutes. Take a break right now.
Ourselves, we're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else.
Okay, that's one thing we need to get back into, and that's saying it loud. I'm Black and I'm Proud. I play that every show because people need to know and understand that it's not a sin to say it loud. I mean, it's basically the same thing as you hear today in today's news, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, that is a growing phenomenon, you know, that is just growing all over the country. And, you know, sadly, it's led by women, females. Where are the black men? We do not have black men who are willing to stand up for what's right. You know, here in Florence, South Carolina, that's where we're broadcasting out of, Florence, South Carolina. There's a real problem with men standing up for strong issues against the system. They have strong complainants, but no fire in the oven. They're not there. Basically, you know, the little bit of help that we get, it comes from females. It comes from females. Very few men that I can call on to stand with me, but I'm dealing with a racial issue. And the racial situation, the statistics shows that things are just all out of sync. And people are sitting back and saying, this is okay. You know, I mean, I'm treated as less than, so I must be less than. And so I have to explain to my children that they are less than. They have to accept less than. I mean, who would do that? I mean, people die. And people have died. And people are still dying. People are going to jail. People are losing their future, losing their jobs, losing opportunities to make sure to show us as a people that things are not fair and equal. But yet, we will turn around and believe those who are persecuting and prosecuting us versus to look at the truth and deal with it. But yet, we are the ones who are so godly and believe that, you know, God will take care. God will take care, and I strongly believe that God will take care. He will take care of those who take care of themselves. And we are not doing it. We have to be a much stronger force in fairness. Fairness and equality. I'm not promoting or trying to get us to create any violence or any controversy. But we have to let those in power know that, you know, it's not fair, it's not equal, and we're not going to stand for it. There's going to be some opposition to what you're doing. There's going to be opposition to what you're doing. And the only way, the best way, the two things that we have that that can help us resolve this problem is the streets. Now, we do have the right. They haven't taken that away yet. Even though they tried. They're taking away the Voters' Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, trying to take away, you know, they don't want you to have health insurance, they want you to die early, everything. But we have to use the resources that we do have, that's the streets and our money. And if we can garner that, put that, harness it, and put that together as a driving force to create a resolve to this Jim Crow system that we are still living in, then I think that's where the answer lies. I think that's where the answer lies. Oh, I'm getting so involved in the conversation, I'm not telling people how to call in. The call-in number is 516-453-9921. If you want to call in and voice your opinion on issues, the issues that I'm talking about, see, because I'm only here, I'm by myself, and the show is about issues that anybody would have. We're always nice and kind to anybody, no matter if you come to us and you kind of want to be a little bit obnoxious and create little problems, then we don't have to listen to it. But we're not going to be arrogant. We're going to try to deal with everybody and every issue from a humane, congenial way. So if you have a problem, call in. You don't have to tell who you are. We won't tell your number. You just call in and state your case, and then we'll see if we can come up with a problem, with an answer. And see, that's the whole purpose of the whole show. Let's talk about the problems, what we have to do. And first of all, in order to resolve a problem, you have to realize that you have a problem. Call in number is 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. This is the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce coming to you out of Florence, South Carolina. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, and your host, Ed Robinson. You know, we at the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, CRBCC, those acronyms for Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, CRBCC, we have sustained a whole year in existence. But tell me, I promise you, there has been so much, you know, there's been a struggle. I mean, they've tried, and lack of support, and false promises, and everything, to try to do what they can in order to make us fail. But we're still here. We're still here, and we're going to be here. We're going to survive. We're going to have to be a force to reckon with. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, with your host, Ed Robinson. I am a city council member of the city of Florence, South Carolina. And we're here. We're here. That's the purpose of the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, to do what we can to promote and grow black businesses. Promote and grow black businesses. All right, we're going to take another break right here, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain. Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Okay, back live with you with the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce show. Your host again. This is Ed Robinson coming at you live from the city of Florence, South Carolina. From the city of Florence, South Carolina, the title of our show is Let's Talk Blackness. Let's Talk Blackness. Call in, please. Call in number is 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce Show. Again, we're here to talk about black issues, issues that negatively affect black folk as well as positively affect, things that we probably need to do that we're not doing. We need to hear from you. We need to put our ideas and suggestions together, put these things together, talk about them, and find out how we can take these ideas and suggestions and use it for means of making life better for black folk. You know, we're the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. As I was mentioning earlier, our purpose is to grow black businesses. We need to grow black wealth. There are people who have the potential to become wealthy, but don't know how to do it. What can I do? What can I do with my money? Then we have resources, people who can advise you and tell you what to do. Well, I need to get certified in this. Well, we can work, have resources for that. Well, I got tax problems. Well, we're not lawyers and we don't have any lawyers. But we have volunteer accountants and people who we can talk to give us advice as to where we need to go. And, you know, that's the purpose of the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. And we help negotiate deals. I'm a member of the Florence City Council. And I push hard on fairness and equality. And it's not happening with us. But if there were more of a push and strong show of force as one, we need this oneness to present our case. And that shows that, you know, we are a strong force to reckon with. You just cannot just ignore who we are and what we represent in relation to the growth of a city. City cannot grow without us. And the growth of the city has been where we have been left behind. And I'll call that. And this is not sustainable. We have to be more together. You know, it's gotten to the point where the system has tried us and we have failed. They have neglected us, and we have accepted that. So they're going to continue to do it until there is resistance. And as long as we wait to resist this negative impact against us, the harder it's going to be for us to turn it around. And if I give you a good example, with the growth of the city of Florence, I mean we're going to spend about $200 million in a 2 to 3 block span of the downtown city of Florence area, but black folk are getting less than 1% of the growth of the money that's going to be spent. And we are in a city of about 50% of the population, but yet we're getting, I don't guess you can call this crumbs that we're getting. And we're accepting the fact the only person that is fighting against this is me. I am the only one. We have other black members on the city council who are endorsing this concept that they are putting forth, though I am not against the idea of growth and economic development, but I am against it when it's all one-sided. You know, I can see where so many who are getting all of the perks and incentives are those who are members, who are friends, who are friends of a select group of the mostly white members of city council. And they're getting millions, and not me. It's just something that's really blowing my mind. Like, it's beyond, almost beyond my comprehension. But I got to stay up enough, savvy. I have to be savvy enough to understand and realize what they're doing. But the thing that I have not been able to do is to explain. I mean, what's that? Well, I'm explaining it. The only thing that I have not been able to do is get black folk to stand up and say, we want fairness. What you are doing, front city council, against black folk is not right, is not fair, is not equitable. We want to be more included in the economic growth of the city of Florence. And that is my issue, but I'm not just that. No, nobody stand with me when I see that. Well, Ed, you know, you're good. You fight. You keep fighting. You're doing a good job. We appreciate what you're doing. But see, it's gotten to the point where they know that that's all people will do is stand back and push me. And I'm the fighter. But, you know, let's make the comparison. We're going to have to dig a 10-foot ditch. And they're going to give them a backhoe, and I'm going to give a shovel. You know, so I get laughed at. I mean, how can I compete with that? I cannot. Now, if they give them a backhoe and give me 100 men, you know, now, you know, things are a little more even-keeven. See, because this backhoe can do the work, but the 100 men, we have men who can do the work probably with 100 just as fast, but we got strong resources as it relates to other things. You know, machine, all they can do is dig a hole. 100 men, hey, what we do, we create wealth. We create unity. Unity is power. We create oneness. And see, this is the thing that they have been successful at doing, you know, freezing me out because I don't have the support. Financially, can't get it. I get more financial support from white folk who understand and realize that this income disparity thing is not sustainable. Though it may look rosy today, it's going to be disastrous tomorrow. Except that those select few who are getting all of these millions and millions of dollars, they're going to be, but see, not only is it going to affect black folk, it's going to affect white folk too, who have fallen below that line where they feel like, okay, these are the acceptable ones. These are the ones that who are the job makers. So, you know, their policy is we're going to give to the income. You know, I don't know if people, you out there watching, ever looking at MSNBC with the Reverend Al Sharpton, and he is a favorite saying about, you know, we get the down, but we don't get the trickle. You know, they give to the high income, and the money is supposed to overflow and trickle down to those of us, you know, when you only got a trickle, everybody is grabbing. And so by the time, so it begins to trickle, say, let's say it begins to trickle at number 10, and it has to pass through 9, 8, 7. And by the time they get to that, it's gone. Ain't no more trickle. You know, so 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we don't get nothing. Things for them move forward. 5 and 6, 6 and 7, 5 and 6, they stay stable. six and seven are stable, five and below are going backwards, which creates more problems. And those at the top are the ones who began who are the beneficiaries, and they use their money to keep them at the top and keep them at the bottom. Psychologically, all these things that, you know, I've talked about previously, how they can talk about when I mentioned the thing about, well, you don't need education in these communities. You need the police. We need to build more jails to house more of these people who are committing these crimes. And because they're committing these crimes simply because there's a means of survival. And if you give them a different means of survival, they will use it. But, you know, survival is the number one. Number one, you know, people are going to survive whatever it takes. another little slight example is I live near the county line, and there's a man that has these horses, and the horses are pretty much maintained. But this particular morning, I came up early in the morning, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Police knocking on my door because I know people who know how to deal with these horses, saying that these horses are out, and do I know if anybody could help us get them back in? And then we did. We finally got them back. But we realized, why did they get out? You know, these horses have been in this fence, but there was no water. They had no water. So they had to find some means of survival. They were thirsty. They needed water. So they broke out. And the same principle holds true with us as a people. When we are hungry, when we are cold, when we are sick, we try to find means to relieve the pain. And even though it means that we turn on our own, they understand this psychological effect of creating, of depriving us from the necessary resources for us to survive. They put you in this corner, pretty much lock you in, deprive you, and then you begin to feed on each other. And now we're going to get the jails, and now we got you in jail. Now you got a record. Now you ain't got no other choice but go right back into that pen that you just broke out of, because nobody's going to give you a chance now. We've got a lock on you. Your economic opportunities are almost destroyed. And there are a few that rise above this, and if it's not destroyed, it's severely hampered. Again, let's use this 0 to 10 concept. Now, if you have the mental capacity and abilities to work on a level of 10, but because you were trapped in this trap and you fell prey and you made that mistake, now that you're out and you kind of got yourself straight and realized what you've done and ready to do, to live up to your potentials have been cut. Now you're on a 6 level. That's as far as you can go. Where you're not going to be comfortable. Where you're not going to be comfortable. And they know this. You know, and we appreciate again that you listening to us. We Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. You're with your host, Ed Robinson. We'll be back tomorrow night. Same time, talking about the issues of blackness, and we hope that you will call in and be a part of the conversation to help us resolve the problems that negatively affect the lives of those of us and that fall below that that upward income line. Because there is that upward income line. Now we're going to leave you as we came in.
Can you dig it?